Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob McLean. Hello, campers. Greetings. Welcome. Salutations. Tuesday, day before hump day. Alohas to you. You are just in time for the most heavily commuted and most heavily congested hour of the Bobby Mack Electric Radio Program. That would be the 5 o'clock follies with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loudmouth of the South. Great to have you along. Congressman Jeff Duncan joining me a little bit later in this hour to talk about the ongoing shampeachment proceedings in Washington. In the meantime, here is how you can join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number is 71307, and my email address is bob@1063word.com. Number of people inquiring, and by the way, if you're just joining us, here after getting off work at 5 o'clock. Saturday night on CNN, Don Lemon, America's stupidest anchor, as President Trump likes to refer to him, and he's accurate in that assessment. Don Lemon had some of his leftist buddies on. Some guy from CNN, Rick Wilson, was on there. He's he's an anti-Trumper, as you're about to hear. And they were talking about a dust-up that happened between Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and an NPR reporter, Mary Louise Kelly. She had told Pompeo's people that she wanted to talk about Iran. And when she came in to actually do the interview, it was all about Ukraine, which ticked off the Secretary of State. And then she revealed some information that was supposedly off the record. That is, that after the interview had been conducted, Pompeo had ripped her a new one for having violated their agreement that they would not be talking about Ukraine, but instead would be talking about Iran. And then she turned the tables and asked about nothing but Ukraine. And as a result, the NPR reporter that was going on the upcoming trip, the Secretary of State is taking, has been bumped from that trip. So this naturally ticked off CNN and his sycophants, and they decided to have a laugh fest at the people who support Donald Trump, you and me, tens of millions of other Americans, in their own elitist, arrogant style. So crank it up a little bit, Moneypenny, and this is what it sounded like Saturday night on CNN.
Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. Uh-huh. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, you know, the credulous boomer rube demo that back...
Oh, yeah, the credulous boomer rube demo. You know, the toothless wonders out here in flyover country.
Donald Trump that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and they're y'all elitist for them.
Yeah, and naturally, just to make sure that he is belaboring us with his point, this Rick Wilson character uses a Southern accent. Just to make sure there's no misunderstanding about who the stupid, toothless rubes in America really are.
You elite us with your geography and your maps and your spelling, even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, your reading, you know, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh my God!
But you know what? But it was Rick's fault. I blame Rick.
Oh my God.
But, you know, but in all honesty, but all,
blame
you know what NPR
Rick.
Should
Why
do.
Why not? Sorry, hold on. Wait.
Can
yeah,
I tell
give
you
me what, a second? Hold on. So, that was good. Sorry.
Yeah.
Rick, you, that was
hilarious.
A good one. I needed that.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So listen.
Can I tell
get
you
back to business here.
So
Donald Trump,
if just for comparison's sake. If Bret Baier and Martha McCallum, not that they ever would, a bunch of the Fox talking heads went on air, and they had some guest, let's say they had Limbaugh as a guest on there, and they started talking about all the cliches of the arrogant left, talk about sipping their lattes. Can you imagine the eruption of outrage that we would hear from this is so demeaning, this is so toxic. See, this merely proves that the right are hateful. We're hateful? And you listen to these guys describing tens of millions of Americans who support Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump is going to New Jersey later today. Joy-Z. He's going to the Jersey Shore. He's going to Wildwood. The facility in which the president would be speaking in Jersey holds, I believe, 7,500 people. They have had, count them, 100,000 requests for tickets. What? What did you say? I thought you said 100,000 requests for tickets.
What?
Yeah. In an arena that seats 7,500. In the blue state of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And CNN wonders why they have no numbers? Yeah. But don't worry. And by the way, there's a link to this now on our Facebook page. You can see the audio for yourself. See the yuck fest that Don Lemon was having with Rick Wilson and some other moron on there.
You moron.
Wait a minute, is that toxic? To call them morons? Is that hateful? Is that hate speech? Bobby, CNN, on my text line, CNN should totally make a promo out of that exchange with Don Lemon. It would help make the channel easy to find for both of their audience members. Bobby, when dealing with the media, especially these commie-crat enablers, nothing is off the record. Pompeo should have known that, and part of me believes he did that intentionally. I mean, look at the gem we got from Don Lemon's poor excuse for a TV show. Bobby, is Don Lemon black? Yes, he is. And he's gay. Bobby, the CNN anchors sound like a T. Smith campaign mailer. Yeah. Is Donald Trump a high school dropout? Yeah, Donald Trump. He's a terrible businessman. You know, he's a graduate of one of the top business schools, Wharton School of Business, one of the top business schools in the country. Bobby, John Hines Kerry's stepson was involved in that same Ukrainian company as Creepy Joe's cokehead son. Yeah, but at least Kerry's stepson had enough sense. He could smell a rat. He recognized trouble when he saw it with a big capital T, and he said, as Sam Goldwyn, the famous Hollywood producer of decades gone by, he was famous for his malaprops. Sam Goldwyn famously said, "Include me out," said Kerry's stepson. He bailed on the deal. He said, "I'm not getting anywhere near this one, thank you." Quarter after five here on the Bobby Mack Show. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Slash something. We'll never know what. Can't fold a computer, you know, when 5959 rolls around. That's it. Your commercial is done, pal. You got to get it done in that time. Welcome back to the program this afternoon. One of my favorite people, that is 3rd District Congressman Jeff Duncan. Congressman, welcome to the program. Always a pleasure to have you here, sir.
Well, Bobby Mack, the pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me on amongst this this craziness that we have up here in Washington.
It is a real freak show. I shared earlier in the program the op-ed that you wrote that was published in the Greenville Daily Worker. You have to be proud, though.
That's a good one.
I refer to them sometimes that way and sometimes as Pravda, but they all seem to apply. But we all have to be proud of the job that the president's defense team has done. I've described them as the 1929 Yankees. Professor Alan Dershowitz, the retired Harvard law professor, now emeritus. Jay Sekulow's done a tremendous job as well. Ms. Bondi yesterday. It must have been a stunner to him to see her actually bring up the Bidens.
Yeah, I don't think they liked the fact that she brought up the Bidens, but she knocked it out of the park and really laid out a history of corruption and basically using the daddy's office as Joe Biden,
right?
Presidential candidate, by the way, I understand, but using his office when he was vice president of the United States and probably before that as United States senator for personal gain for their family and for his children. And that picture is being painted very, very clearly by people like Pam Bondi.
Now, here's another question, Congressman Duncan. We're having a trial, and the defendant in the trial is sitting there and suddenly notices that four members of the jury pool who are going to be deciding this case are related to the prosecutor. Isn't that essentially what we have with four Democrat presidential candidates – sitting in judgment of the man they're trying to replace? Why in the world would they not recuse themselves? And
Cory Booker should have to recuse himself. He was running for president. Anyone that was involved in this 2020 presidential hopeful cycle should have to recuse themselves. They were against the president from the get-go.
It's ridiculous that they are allowed to sit in judgment. So now we have the latest fabrication here, and that is a former National Security Advisor, Mr. Bolton, with his quickly constructed book, which just happens to be released at a point in time when some of the more squishy GOP senators might be influenced to vote to hear witnesses. And now we have this call for new evidence for Mr. Bolton's book. The timing of this is so obvious.
It really is. And, you know, the fact is, the matter is, the House did not do a very good job in their impeachment inquiry. They rushed it. They had a lot of the hearings in secret behind closed doors without public testimony. They cherry-picked what they wanted the American people and the mainstream media to see and report on. That was after the closed-door meetings, and then they brought witnesses that were favorable to them. But once Republicans were able to question those witnesses on the record, you saw on Saturday,
yep,
clip after clip after clip played by Cipollone and some of the others that showed that, well, it was my opinion. That's what I assumed. It was presumption. I presumed that. And it just really tore the Democrats' whole case apart in the words of their witnesses.
Right.
And that's Sondland, and that's Volker, and that's, you know, the rest of them. Once the senators saw that, how can they say these are fact witnesses? These are the facts here.
Yep.
The rest of it was hearsay, conjecture, and opinion. So it's amazing where we are. And I think the president's team's done a great job in laying out the facts and showing the senators the facts. But I think they're going to push for witnesses. I think they're going to get witnesses. And I'm fine with witnesses. There really ought to be only two witnesses called.
Mm-hmm.
That's Donald J. Trump.
Right.
And that's President Zelensky.
Right.
The two people that were on the call, what was said, what was the intention of it, what was heard, and what were the actions that were required or not required or what you thought? Because we know four things have not changed. We know that the transcript of the call was released and there's no evidence of pressure or quid pro quo.
Right.
We know that both President Zelensky have said there's no pressure on the call. We know that Zelensky didn't know that the aid was being withheld at the time of the July 25th call, and they didn't know until the Politico article came out on August the 28th or 29th.
Right.
And so Zelensky and the Ukrainians didn't know. They never knew until really the aid was released. And the aid was released to Ukraine without them having to do a thing. It wasn't conditioned on a meeting with the president, which the president had offered to meet him numerous times, even in Poland, but he couldn't go because of the hurricane.
Right.
They didn't have to investigate anybody. They didn't have to do anything. What had to happen was the President of the United States trying to protect your tax dollars and make sure that we were addressing corruption. We weren't wastefully spending U.S. tax dollars in foreign aid, not just in Ukraine, as was shown in the hearing on Saturday.
Correct.
That the policy of this administration going back to 2017 was we're going to look at all foreign aid, and we're going to make sure that we're spending tax dollars appropriately and that we're not wastefully spending money in corrupt countries that are lining the pockets of oligarchs and dictators.
Yeah, who wants to see American tax dollars end up in some Swiss bank of some tyrant, wherever in the world they may be? It's amazing. And you look at the cesspool of corruption that existed under the previous president in Ukraine. The corruption was everywhere, the money laundering and everything. And a lot of people knew this was going on. Is this whole impeachment effort really two-pronged? Number one, because they know they're not going to be able to impeach President Trump and remove him from office, to damage him enough going into the November election that they feel that they'll be able to peel away some support for him. And secondarily, running interference as protection for the Bidens and whoever else had relatives that may have been involved in this cesspool in Ukraine.
Both of those are exactly correct. They're trying to damage the president so that they're trying to influence the election in 2020. So what Democrats are trying to influence the election 2020. Everything they're accusing the president of, they are guilty of. They are trying to shield the Bidens because they know that the Biden family was involved in the corruption in Ukraine.
By his own admission.
With Burisma, lining their own pockets.
Right.
And they're trying to protect them. And they know that there's this whole investigation out there by Durham after the deep state and the FBI and DOJ and elements of the Obama administration that went after the Trump campaign with the dossier and the FISA court and all that. That's still ongoing, and they're trying to distract that from the American people. And so it's just it's really crazy. I would recommend everyone to look at Pamela Bondi's remarks yesterday.
Right.
Because you really start to see why the Democrats are at this point. They're scared to death.
Desperate.
It's unraveling on them.
Here's
another thing, Bob. I think your listeners need to hear this.
Right.
You know, they're saying the president obstructed Congress because he wouldn't allow certain members of his cabinet to testify. I just want people to remember that Eric Holder was held in contempt of court for not coming to testify because Obama wouldn't let him during the Fast and Furious.
Correct.
Ben Rhodes was not allowed to come testify when we were investigating the Iran pallets of cash that went during the Iran nuclear deal. Asked Ben Rhodes, who orchestrated all that for Valerie Jarrett and Obama, asked him to come testify. He was shielded from Congress by Obama, never came. Presidents have executive authority not to allow members of their cabinet to come talk or members of their administration to come talking before Congress because there is a separation of power.
Yes.
And some things are executive privilege that are national security issues, and that's the president's call. That's not Congress's call.
Correct. Obstruction of Congress, correct me if I'm wrong, Congressman, isn't that what the founders intended, that we would have these three various areas and that they would be able to check each other, what the Democrats are now calling obstruction?
Yeah, well, the Democrats would say this impeachment process is a check on the power of the presidency, and that was one of its intended uses, but only when the president committed high crimes, treason, and misdemeanors that were violations of law. They'd actually had criminal activity,
right?
Not just obstruction of their effort to dig into something or what we see that the Democrats are saying with President Trump in this. These are not impeachable offenses. All the while, Don Lemon's making fun of me and you because we support President Trump and we support everything he's doing with the economy and securing our country and all that. Don Lemon and CNN are making fun of us.
Yeah, I just played that clip again just a few minutes ago. It's pretty disgusting. I know that there are a lot of people, Congressman, that would like to see Joe Biden hauled in to testify, Hunter Biden called in, the whistleblower called in. But on the other hand, there are a lot of people who just want this thing to be over with as quickly as possible. Aren't those questions that should be actually reserved? You referred to Mr. Durham for a potential grand jury. Should we see one of those down the road?
I think so, and I think that's probably why you won't see Hunter Biden and Joe Biden brought before the United States Senate. I think there will be, because of the revelations, there will be an investigation by the DOJ, if it's not already ongoing, to the corruption at the level of the Vice President of the United States on down, that where he and his family line their pockets. But Nancy Pelosi's relatives have been involved in some of this. There have been other members of the United States government that have family members involved in different organizations like Burisma, where they've lined their own pockets as well. So it's time to get to the bottom of that. It's time to clean up the corruption here in this country and here in this government by some of the people at the highest levels, it looks like.
Well, we certainly appreciate the efforts that President Trump has made in that regard against amazing headwinds, and you for defending him, Congressman Duncan. We greatly appreciate having you there in Washington.
Well, thanks, Bobby Mack. Thanks to all the listeners. Continue to pray for our president and our country as we work through this. United States senators, they'll make the right decision going forward. And thanks for following it and sharing with your listeners the truth, because it's important that we get the facts and the truth out there, not hearsay, opinion, conjecture, and spin.
Absolutely. Third District Congressman Jeff Duncan. Congressman, thanks for your time this afternoon. Always a pleasure, sir. God bless and take care.
Same here. God bless, too, Bob. Thanks.
Bye-bye. 5:31 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on Tuesday on WORD.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Dan.
Welcome back. Great to have you along. My thanks to Congressman Jeff Duncan for joining us this afternoon on the program. The other big news today here at 5:39, the president today called for a two-state solution to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as he unveiled the details of his administration's much-awaited Middle East peace plan. And I commend the president for attempting to do this. I mean, no president in modern history has been able to solve this problem, and we understand why. It's difficult to reach a resolution, to have a negotiation where the other side, that is the Palestinians, have as one of their non-negotiable items wiping Israel off the face of the earth. How do you negotiate with that as a starting point? The president announcing the proposal alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu during remarks in the East Room of the White House. The president saying, "My vision presents a win-win situation for both sides. Today, Israel has taken a giant step toward peace." He later tweeted a map of the proposed state of Palestine. And by the way, CNN, the president does know where Israel and the proposed state of Palestine are on a map. While Trump and Netanyahu praised the plan as a way toward ending the decades-long conflict between the Israelis and Palestinians, odds of the peace plan taking shape are long, I would say impossible, given that the Palestinians have preemptively rejected the plan. "This is a great deal," the president said, "and the Palestinians may not have this opportunity ever again." The president acknowledged he's setting out toward a goal that has eluded every U.S. president in modern times, but claimed those prior efforts were too vague and short on critical details. The president declared his plan as the most detailed proposal ever put forward. "All prior administrations from Lyndon Johnson have tried and failed in the past. Even the most well-intentioned plans were light on details. There is nothing tougher than this one. We have an obligation to humanity to get it done." White House officials described the plan as realistic and said Israel is prepared to act. According to White House officials, the plan calls for a two-state solution, including the state of Israel and the future state of Palestine. Under the plan, the Palestinians would have to reach certain benchmarks to achieve a state. Those benchmarks include rooting out terrorism, forget that, stopping what they call pay to slay, forget that, implementing steps toward free speech and other political reforms, forget that as well. The plan is a basis for negotiations with Israel, Trump officials said, claiming many of the Palestinians' red lines are met, including their calls for a Palestinian state and a capital in parts of East Jerusalem. The vision calls for more than doubling the amount of territory the Palestinians control. The president saying this plan will double Palestinian territory and set the capital of the Palestinian state in eastern Jerusalem, where the United States will happily open an embassy. Our vision will end the cycle of Palestinian dependence on charity and foreign aid. Yeah, and on terror. The plan also includes a map of a contiguous Palestinian state in the West Bank with a proposed tunnel to connect the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. There would also be land swaps south of Gaza to give the Palestinians more territory. This is the first time, by the way, Israel has agreed to a Palestinian state with defined borders. You remember, of course, Obama's suggestion after he kept the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu cooling his heels downstairs in the White House while he and Muchel had dinner upstairs, insulting him as much as he possibly could in the process. Then President Obama told Netanyahu he thought that Israel should revert back to its 1968 borders, which essentially would doom the state of Israel. But then again, there are many who believe that Obama would have had no problem with that. So we'll see. But having watched many of these Middle East peace proposals come and go, ask Jimmy Carter. In on the text line this afternoon, 71307. Bobby, when I was in teacher training a couple of decades ago, got slammed with teaching history by global entities and not chronologically. So the first thing I got immersed in was the rise of the Middle East. So I'm scrambling to do research and learned about the white paper that created Israel back in the day. That would be the 1940s, right after World War II. I'm quite sure that the British diplomat, who honestly thought the Arabs would become Israelis, would be welcome to note all the history of animosity over the centuries. Good luck with this one. To stop the process was that they were cousins from the side of Abraham. And I think he neglected to note all of the history of animosity. Yeah. Bob, shut down Mueller, sham 3 days into by letter to Trump. There's no government that can keep pace with me. Okay. Bobby, DOT needs to fix the intersection at Lyman where 29 meets 290. It's a circus at rush hour. Didn't I see something today from the SCDOT about that? I'll have to look and see. It seems like that is a project that they do intend to get to sooner, if not later. Bobby, do you know if President Trump's rally in New Jersey tonight is going to be broadcast on TV from Ken B in Taylor's? Usually, One America News Network carries those, I believe. Maybe Newsmax, Fox, who knows? They'll probably be carrying an old speech from Hillary instead. 5:45, it's quarter before 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. I mentioned there was a big ruling at the Supreme Court yesterday that could have some long-lasting effects down the road. And one of President Trump's appointees to the Supreme Court had some harsh words for some of these activist federal district court judges. It's important, and I'll tell you about it next, here on the Bobby Mack Show on Tuesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello, I'm Bobby Mack. Great to have you along. Coming up on 8 before 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show on this Tuesday evening. I mentioned this earlier in the program, but there's more to it. In yet another 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court said that too many cases are decided by the ideological divide among the justices rather than the rule of law. Fortunately, it's not the five who got this one wrong. The originalist wing of the court granted the Trump administration's request for a stay against an injunction blocked by three of these federal district court judges, lifted the stay against an injunction blocking its policy to deny entry to the U.S. to any alien who is likely at any time to become a public charge, that is, use all our services. America's astounding level of generous benefits obviously attracts illegals. Democrats know it, which is why they try so hard to stop the administration's work to rein in their flow. But it was less the merits of the ruling than the importance of comments made by Justice Neil Gorsuch that got our attention. In a blistering 5-page concurrence joined by Clarence Thomas, Gorsuch blasted judges in lower courts who routinely issue these nationwide injunctions to obstruct the administration's agenda. There have been 40 such injunctions during Donald Trump's first 3 years in office, twice the number that were issued during Obama's entire 8 years. Quote, today the court rightly grants a stay, allowing the government to pursue for now its policy everywhere save Illinois. But in light of all that's come before, it would be delusional to think that one stay today suffices to remedy the problem. The real problem here is the increasingly common practice of trial courts ordering relief that transcends the cases before them. Now, how many times have we complained about activist judges being able to throw a roadblock to the president's agenda? Gorsuch continued, whether framed as injunctions of nationwide, universal, or cosmic scope, these orders share the same basic flaw. They direct how the defendant must act toward persons who are not parties in the case. When a district court orders a government not to enforce a rule against the plaintiffs in the case before it, the court redresses the injury that gives rise to its jurisdiction in the first place. But when a court goes further than that, ordering the government to take or not take some action with respect to those who are strangers to the suit, it is hard to see how the court could still be acting in the judicial role of resolving cases and controversies. Injunctions like these raise serious questions about the scope of the court's equitable powers under Article 3. It has become increasingly apparent that this court must, at some point, confront these important objections to this increasingly widespread practice, Gorsuch wrote, as the brief and furious history of the regulation before us illustrates. The routine issuance of universal injunctions is patently unworkable, sowing chaos for litigants, the government, courts, and all those affected by these conflicting decisions. By their nature, universal injunctions tend to force judges into making rushed, high-stakes, low-information decisions. And Gorsuch concluded, a single loss and the policy goes on ice, possibly for good or just as possibly for some indeterminate period of time until another court jumps in to grant a stay. And all that can repeat ad infinitum until one side either gives up or this court grants certiorari. What in this gamesmanship and chaos can we be proud of? I concur in the court's decision to issue a stay, but I hope, too, that we might, at an appropriate juncture, take up some of the underlying equitable and constitutional questions raised by the rise of nationwide injunctions. And Justice Gorsuch might as well have said some of the underlying equitable and constitutional questions raised by activist judges who are acting as godlike from the bench, being able to impede the power of a president to enforce his policies when they are perfectly constitutional and perfectly legal. And it's good to see that one of the justices appointed to the court by President Trump, Neil Gorsuch, recognizes that this is an ongoing problem and that essentially the judiciary is being gamed for political purposes. We'll see if something does happen down the road. Down the road here, one more to go, the bonus hour on the Bobby Mack Show. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.